So we can read the last verse. Krishna shochai pranayava siddhi prayasibhyo viradha kumancha shamuni virabitastatrigeva vyadayi yaprestarabhyalam masulabham kimpunarbhakti bhajam tatrimidam sakritapi sarasnatura diskaroti. Of the many objects of favored delight and of all the lovable damsels of Brajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. Chilpava's purport. Why is Radha Kund so exalted? The lake is so exalted because it belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is the most beloved object of Sri Krishna. Among all the gopis, she is the most beloved. Similarly, her lake, Sri Radha Kund, is also described by great sages as the lake that is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Indeed, Krishna's love for Radha Kund and Srimati Radharani is the same in all respects. Radha Kund is very rarely attained even by great personalities fully engaged in devotional service, not to speak of ordinary devotees who are only engaged in the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. It is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes a bath in Radha Kund. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that even if one cannot live permanently on the banks of Radha Kund, you should at least take bath in the lake as many times as possible. This is a most important item in the execution of devotional service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in this connection that Sri Radha Kund is the most select place for those interested in advancing their devotional service in the wake of the lady friends, sakis, and confidential serving maids, manjaris, the Srimati Radharani. Living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, the Loka Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, Siddha Deha, should live at Radha Kund. Take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha, and under their direction, engage constantly in her service. This is the most exalted method for those engaged in devotional service under the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that even great sages and great devotees like Narad and Sanak do not get an opportunity to come to Radha Kund to take their baths. What then to speak of ordinary devotees? If, by great fortune, one gets an opportunity to come to Radha Kund and bathe even once, he can develop his transcendental love for Krishna, exactly as the gopis did. It is also recommended that one should live on the banks of Radha Kund and should be absorbed in the loving service of the Lord. One should bathe there regularly and give up all material conceptions, taking shelter of Sri Radha and her assistant gopis. If one is thus constantly engaged during this lifetime, after giving up the body, he'll return back to Godhead to serve Sri Radha in the same way as he contemplated during his life on the banks of Radhakund. The conclusion is that to live on the banks of Radhakund and to bathe there daily constitute the highest perfection of devotional service. It is a difficult position to attain, even for great sages and devotees like Narad. Thus there is no limit to the glory of Sri Radhakund. By serving Radhakund, one can get an opportunity to become an assistant of Srimati Radharani under the eternal guidance of the gopis. Can anyone say, we were just singing this nice song by Rupa Goswami, this Radhika Stava, and part of the translation describes, "O you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages Sanak and Sanatan, O Radha, please be merciful to me." Sanak and Sanatan are absorbed in Srimati Radharani. The Prabhupada says here in the purport that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta writes that even great sages and great devotees like Narada and Sanak do not get an opportunity to come to Radhakund to take their baths. Can anyone offer any thoughts why that is? Doesn't seem very hard. There's no electric fence or anything like that. There's no guards, machine guns, anything like that. Huh? Anybody has any thoughts on that? One, that we Srila Prabhupada can be meaning so many different things. And we can't say that I know exactly what Prabhupada means. That wouldn't be very appropriate, even if we might be correct. But we should think. This is one thing. Sometimes there's things in Srila Prabhupada's books which don't seem so easy. We should think about those things. We should pray about those things. I can offer one thought about this. That Narad Muni and Sanak Rishi in their surup and their leelas, they don't get an opportunity to come to Radhakund. Nobody gets an opportunity to come to Radhakund, as Mataji was saying, because it's only a place for Madhurja Ras. And they're not in the mood of Madhurja Ras. Narad Muni, there's a story, and there's also Narada Kund, not far from Kusum Sarovar, where he did his tapasya and he wrote his Narada Bhakti Sutras. And he took bath and he took the form of a gopi, known as Naradiya Gopi. But it's not described anywhere that I know of, I can be corrected, that he took shelter of Srimati Radharani. So if someone wants to have residence at Radhakund, they have to have shelter of Srimati Radhika. And what does it mean to have shelter of Srimati Radhika? Can someone say that in a simple way? So many answers it could be there. There's one particular one I'm looking for in regards to this purport.
I would assume as you were saying the other day that one would have to have introduction into that special assembly by other guys who are serving in that capacity. I mean, that's the Yukandas are serving Ramita Devi and serving Srimati Radharani. And what I understand the lineup is that if someone were to be fortunate enough to go to that platform, you have to come through this guru who's in that same mood, and he's serving Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami is serving Lalita, and Lalita serves Radharani. And that's the chain of progression.
Yes. There's a place called Sakhi Stali. Raghunath Das Goswami was doing his bhajan on the bank of Radhakund. And we may know about his life that he was just taking a little bit of buttermilk every day. The devotees would make a little leaf cup out of a small leaf and they'd put some buttermilk in. You would take that like about as much as in your hand. So this devotee was doing that service for Raghunath Das. He was feeling very bad. He's only taking so little. If somehow I could think of some way to get him to take more. So one day he was walking near this place, Sakhi Stali, and he saw a tree that had very, very big leaves. So he thought, this is it here.
So he took one of the leaves from the tree and he made a very big cup for him and put so much buttermilk in. And then he brought that later to Raghunath Das Goswami. And when he saw that, Raghunath Das, he said, "What is this? This is a bigger cup than we're used to. Where did this come from?" And the devotee, he said, "Oh, we got this from Sakhi Stali." And when Raghunath Das Goswami heard that, he became furious. He threw that thing. Because Sakhi Stali is a place where Radharani's so-called competitor, who's Rupa Goswami writes in Lalita Madhava, is actually Radharani's sister, elder sister, Chandravali, where she lives. So he wouldn't accept that thing. Because Chandravali seems to be the competitor of Srimati Radharani. And by that, he's teaching us how we can enter into the assembly of Srimati Radharani. Is Shruti coming? So Prabhupada describes what Mataji was saying here. He says that living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, Siddhadeha, should live at Radhakund, take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha, and under their direction engage constantly in her service. This is a very, very confidential thing, as Srila Prabhupada says here in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. This is the last and final instruction of Rupa Goswami. And we could say so many things about it, and we'll try to say a few things about it. But ultimately, this is something which has to be realized. And Rupa Goswami is giving us this, as we read yesterday from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, so that we understand what is the artha. So we can be artha prabhriti, we can be acting in such a way to go toward that goal. Most devotees in this world, and most people worship the demigods if they're followers of the Vedic literatures. A few of them may have enough intelligence to worship Lord Vishnu. And out of thousands of devotees who worship Lord Vishnu, perhaps one or two may have some understanding about Krishna. And out of many, many hundreds of thousands of such devotees, maybe one or two may be inclined toward the service of Srimati Radharani. Rupa Goswami describes this in his literature in a technical way. You don't have to worry about for your tests or anything. He describes this as called Bhavalasarati. Bhavalasarati is where one's devotion toward Radharani is greater than the devotion toward Krishna. It's either equal to Krishna or it's greater. But most people, they're worshipping Krishna. But those persons in Bhavalasarati, they worship Radharani more than they do Krishna. And this is also known as Manjari Bhav, which is something Srila Prabhupada is referring to here in the purport. He says the confidential serving maids. That means the young girls, the Manjaris, who are about 13 years of age. And this is a very confidential thing. We can just mention a few little things about this, just for the purpose, so that you understand something about this. There's a difference between understanding the goal and meditating on that goal as our sadhana. We were discussing yesterday, Prabhuji was asking a question, what is Krishna Katha? Somebody was telling me afterwards that Srila Prabhupada was saying that some of their for new devotees, they should meditate on Krishna's acts of creation, they should meditate on Krishna's pastimes of killing the demons, meaning his Naimittika Leelas, as Bhaktivinoda speaks about in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. They should mainly focus on that. But I commented to the devotee that also Prabhupada wanted everyone to read Krishna book, which includes the Ras Leela. So that seems like a contradiction. On one hand, Prabhupada's saying that the neophyte devotees should hear like this. On the other hand, Prabhupada's saying that everyone should read Krishna book. How do we reconcile that? Can anyone suggest anything? How can we reconcile these seeming disparities?
It's similar to what you spoke yesterday, that just enlightenment is not sufficient.
expressions of yours and his Artha Pravriti. So when we read Krishna book like Rasalila, then it gives us further taste.
Yes, it gives us some goal. Any other thoughts or comments, Mataji?
Prabhupada's, from the understanding of our sacred devotees, Prabhupada's Krishna book is really brilliantly written. First of all, he very smoothly combines all the commentaries without any awkward interruption. And so he's getting validated to push in his commentaries and Sharachakrani's commentaries woven in. There's plenty of tattva woven in. It's not as though it's not there. You know, any page you read, the tattva's there. So it's tattva plus rocks. Also, those pastimes must be heard, because by hearing regularly, the anarchas are removed. So the Krishna book accomplishes many things. It gives the goal. But as I, so many over the years, nice classes, he said, when you read Prabhupada's 10th canto, it just sounds like a charming story. There's nothing in the way that Prabhupada writes, particularly when he wrote the Krishna book, that could be agitating or create a disturbance in the mind. And they felt that it was so brilliant that he gave such a high thing and made it affordable to the masses without creating any undue agitation in the mind. They were getting all the medical treatment they needed in terms of tattva, in terms of purification of an artist. But they were also getting the goal. Anyway, that's what others have said. I'm really
repeating. Well, that's a good thought. Anything else, sir? Guruji?
There's one quote where Prabhupada says that if your mind is getting agitated by reading the book, you stop it. That shows that.
Agitated by which?
By reading Krishna book. Uh-huh. And you stop reading.
That's a good point. I don't know if everybody could hear him. He said that. There's one quote from Srila Prabhupada where he says that if someone becomes agitated by reading Krishna book, they should stop reading Krishna book. Because why is that? We could ask another question. That's a good point. Why is that? Why, if someone's getting agitated, why should they stop reading?
Oh, I thought you asked why are they getting agitated.
Oh, we know that. That's our situation.
Obviously, they'll create an offensive mentality.
Bar them from entrance. Means that they don't have qualification. They don't have adhikar for that. And the symptom that they don't have adhikar is this agitation, that disturbance. That's a very simple way to judge if something is, we're qualified for something or not. Ultimately, these things we should do under the guidance of Guru. Because a one person's meal is another person's poison, and vice versa. So we don't know, it's not just by reading a book that you're going to understand these things. We have to do this under the guidance of a person. And we may be reading different pastimes and things, but ultimately we should, we don't know what to read and what not to read. So we need to read under the guidance of Guru. As far as this seeming discrepancy, this seeming dichotomy between reading Krishna book and neophytes being discouraged from hearing things, all these points that were made were very good. I could just add one thing that there's a difference between smarana and reading. Smarana, as we were hearing in the last verse yesterday, is actually a devotional practice, but it begins with varnadasa. It begins with hearing the proper person. And then as we progress to the different label levels and our heart becomes purified, then we can actually begin remembering. So we should read something, and then by that reading we'll have some mental understanding about it. We'll have some mental understanding what is the goal that I have to go to. Without that, as we said yesterday, you won't enter into the university. You may decide to be an engineer or an architect or a chemist or this or that, but if you don't know something about the end goal of that occupation, you're not going to want to enter into the school. So we should read also for that reason. And as Mother Yashoda Mai is nicely pointing out, Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book is amazing. It's just such a wonderful book. He's given us so many warnings and so much siddhanta, so much philosophy, and just woven it in such a sweet way that it's very, very attractive and nice to read, but at the same time, all this protection is given to us. Right? So both things should be there. But in our neophyte stage, we don't have qualification for meditating on these things. And this is what's being described in these verses. And don't think this is a very, very... Prabhupada's giving a very simple explanation of these things. Don't think that going to Radhakund and doing Manasi Seva is just a simple snap of the finger kind of thing. It's a very, very difficult thing ultimately, and especially in terms of our heart and our consciousness, to be able to go and stay there, to reside there. But also to this kind of activity, it's actually quite a complicated, lengthy thing which takes many, many years to learn to do properly, even the external dynamics of it. It's not a simple thing. It's something we don't have qualification for right now. Srila Prabhupada, I've been meditating the last few days, and I keep thinking of this statement Prabhupada makes at the end of the... sixth verse. In the fifth verse, Prabhupada says, in his purport, he says, the devotee should also know his own position and should not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. This is not just a warning. This is an instruction as part of our practice. Utsaha nishchaya dharyat. Be situated in your proper position. Act according to our adhikar. This is something Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasizes again and again, at great length in his purports on in Upadeshamrita, that we should act according to our position. It's such a very, very important thing, because if we try to act in someone else's position, we'll fall down. If we act according to our position, then everyone becomes very happy. All the senior devotees become very happy with us, and everyone gives us blessings. But if we try to put on a disguise and go and act like the senior devotees, it's like there's this story in the West about the sorcerer's apprentice, that once there was one student who approached a guru. He was like a tantric, and he wanted to learn, he wanted to become his disciple. So that guru told him, yes, yes, you can become my disciple. So you sweep the floor, clean the toilets, collect firewood, do all this and that. And that disciple was becoming very annoyed after some time. Well, just sweep the floor, clean, collect firewood. What is, I want to learn to do some magic, some tantra and things. So one day the guru, he had to leave the ashram for some time. So he called the disciple and said, so I'm going to go for some time. You stay here, and while I'm gone, sweep the floor and take the mop and the bucket and fill it with water from the river and come back here and mop the floor. So he was, what is this? The disciple was very annoyed. The guru left, and the disciple thought, I want to become a magician like my guru. So what is this thing, all this sweep the floor nonsense? So he thought, but I saw on my Guru Maharaj's desk is a big book of magic. Ha! I'm very intelligent. So he went up to that book and he opened the book and started looking through it, and he found some special mantra. And he chanted that mantra, and the mantra made the broom come alive and start sweeping by itself. This is very good. Now I'm a real magician like my guru. And then he chanted another mantra, and that was finished. And the broom sprouted a couple hands and started carrying two buckets of water from the river, and came back and started mopping everything by itself. This is very, very nice. So he went to sleep. And he's laying there on his cot, sleeping. And that broom was carrying water, dumping it, and mopping, and going back and getting more water and dumping it, and go back and getting more water and dumping it, and going and getting more water. And pretty soon the water, the whole ashram was becoming flooded until the water came up to his bed. And then he woke up. Oh my God. And he was just horrified, because his guru is going to become very angry. And he's done this thing. So then he went and he tried to stop the broom from doing that. But he didn't know how to stop it. He could read in the book how to make it start, but he didn't know how to stop it. So he became terrified. So they took an axe and he cut it in two. And then suddenly there was two brooms with hands and four buckets. And they were carrying twice as, oh my God. So then he took and chopped them, and all of a sudden there was eight, and then there was 16, and there was so many, and the whole ashram is becoming full of water, and he was in so much anxiety. And then suddenly his guru returned and saw everything, and ha! And just said a little thing, and the water went down, the broom stopped, and everything like that. So that story is something like our position. And if we try to imitate Guru, we try to imitate a higher person, then hoya sarva nas, everything will be destroyed. We should act according to our position and be peaceful with that. And those persons who act according to their positions, they get the mercy of senior Vaishnavas, of Guru and of Krishna. It doesn't mean, it doesn't matter, your position may be a big position, your position may be a small position. There's so many different stories we could tell to illustrate that, but suffice to say that. So Prabhupada writes in a purport that Krishna's love for Radhakund and Srimati Radharani is the same in all respects. So Radhakund is very rarely attained even by great personalities fully engaged in devotional service, not to speak of ordinary devotees who are only engaged in the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. Radhakund is a very, very confidential, intimate place. It's a place of Radha and Krishna's most intimate pastimes. Radhakund is not something that was created for us. Radhakund is something that was created for Radha and Krishna. Right? Raise your hand. Yesterday was Bahulastami, which is also known as Radhakund Prakat, or the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Please raise your hand. How many devotees here know the story about the appearance of Radhakund? Almost everybody knows it, so we won't go into length telling this story. So you know that Aristasura came, and Krishna and he were fighting, and Krishna stomped his foot in the ground, and he made some impression there. And then after he killed Aristasura, the gopis, Krishna went to embrace the gopis, and they said, "Hey, hey, Prabhashini Shade, you can't come in here and stay out." Why? Now you're a papi, because you've killed a cow, you've killed a male cow. So what can I do? So you have to take bath in all the sacred rivers. Krishna didn't want to leave Vrindavan. So he called all the sacred rivers there, and that became Shyamakund. And then Krishna took bath there, and then he told the gopis, he said, "So you gopis, you're not very high class. You haven't done anything pious, anything very useful. You haven't created a kund like I have." And the gopis, they beget some abhiman. Krishna is saying, "You can take bath here if you like." "No, no, no. Your kund is contaminated with the sin of killing a cow." So that tank, Krishna's tank, was originally known as Arista Kund. And what was the gopis? The gopis, and they dug a tank. And raise your hand, who knows what that tank was originally called, still called today? Kankankun, right? And that Kankankun is still there. I think about 50 years ago they drained Radhakund. And you can see that it's a small, like square brick place at the bottom of Radhakund. And some people say that milk sometimes comes out of there from the milky ocean. And they say to this day that sometimes that's same. I don't know. I have never had that good fortune. So the gopis, they said, "No, no, no, your kund is contaminated. We'll dig our own kund." So then with their bangles, kanka, they started digging this kund, and they started to carry water from Manasiganga. And then all the sacred rivers from Krishna's kund, they came and folded hands to Radharani, and they prayed, "Please, let us enter into your kund. We want to take shelter of you." And so Radhika allowed that thing, and then the banks broke between the two kunds. That's now called the Sangam between Radhakund and Shyamakund. And all the waters from Shyamakund joined in the waters of Radhakund. Sometimes you see during the rainy season the waters become very high, and we think it's no longer Shyamakund and Radhakund, but now it's Gorakund. Because the two have become one big kund. That's a very nice darshan we can have. So it's described that Radha Kund is Srimati Radhika's her personified love for Krishna. And Krishna Kund is Krishna's personified love for Srimati Radharani. So this is a very, very private place for their pleasure. It's not just that you can get liberation and you can go to that place. This is a place which is limited for personalities to enter into a very, very confidential, intimate association. So living at Radha Kund is not just a matter of going and purchasing a little piece of land or something there. Living at Radha Kund is a question of consciousness. We heard some time back there was one young couple who decided to get married at Radha Kund. That sounds very nice in some ways, but I was a little unhappy to hear that. It's not a place for our mundane marriage ceremonies or Vedic ceremonies like that. It's a place for Radha Krishna's pastimes. And if we want to enter into Radha Kund, it's not such an easy thing. Want to come in? Papers are here. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when they once went on Radha Kund, Prakrama, Brajmandala Prakrama, and they went to Radha Kund, he said, this is not Radha Kund. Who knows what he called it? What's it? Naraka Kund. Huh? He said, this is not the Kund of Radharani, this is the Kund of hell. Because, he said, so many people, they're living on the bank of this Kund, but they're engaged in so many sinful activities. Prabhupada writes here in the purport, he says that it is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes a bath in Radha Kund. If we just one time take a bath at Radha Kund, Prabhupada says a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the mood of the gopis, in the wake of the gopis, if he once takes a bath there. Prabhupada makes the point several times here in the purport. He says, Rupa Goswami recommends that even if one cannot live permanently on the banks of Radha Kund, he should at least take a bath in the lake as many times as possible. This is a most important item in the execution of devotional service. So I wanted to give everybody here a little gift today, but I'm a poor person. I don't have any wealth to give much of anything. But we thought maybe the best thing we can give everybody is a little Hari Katha. This is issue 78 of our Krishna Katamrita Bindu magazine. I hope there's enough copies to distribute those. We wrote an article a few years ago. It started off as a translation from a section of Varaha Purana, and then it kind of morphed and expanded and did different things and became a little different thing. We called it Sacred Bathing. And you'll find it on page 2 of this issue of our Bindu magazine. I thought it was an appropriate thing for us now. Everyone get a copy? Did anyone not get a copy?
Yeah, an extra one.
There's an extra one. Okay, great.
It's supposed to be one of the Guru Prashanta
aspects. Okay, maybe we have two here.
For those that have seen, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. I wanted to keep one. I'm going to do something else with it. Actually, that's the only one. I would suggest that if anybody else wants any other copies, they can ask. We have one for Prasanta, right? That's sufficient.
Anybody, when you look at that?
There's a few. Shruti's absent. Shruti can get a copy from you. I think you'll like this. I think this is something that you'll want to keep for a long time. I'll explain why. You see on page 2 of this issue, the article Sacred Bathing. Let's go ahead and read this. We've seen that when sadhus in India take bath in sacred lakes, rivers, and tanks, they generally all show respect for the holy waters by observing certain strictures. Many different shastras describe these basic principles for sacred bathing in similar ways. Here is a list mostly based on the Varaha Purana. Mm-hmm. So, Bhakti Pradeep, why don't you start reading? Loudly.
One should not take a sacred bath in an unclean condition or after having passed tulu. If necessary, one should first take bath in some other place and then take bath in the sacred waters.
We see that many times people, when they go to Radhakund or other places, they'll take bath in some place before they enter into Radhakund even. It's not just a cheap thing, just to jump in the water. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Understanding that it is improper to take sacred bath while wearing dirty cloth, many pilgrims purchase new cloth just for bathing. One should not kick the water with one's feet.
Srila Prabhupada in what year that was, it must have been probably 76 or probably 76, I suspect. There was a group of devotees that were swimming at Radhakund, and they were rather boisterous and splashing and kicking and doing all kinds of nonsense, and Prabhupada became very, very upset with them and told them no bathing in Radhakund. Because of this point, when we're bathing in Radhakund or when we're taking bath in some sacred water, it's not just we're going there for play. When we read about Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu doing like that in some places, we don't read about it in Radhakund anyway, but that's also for Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. It's not our position. Go ahead.
At the end of one's bath, one should offer oblations to the water, to the demigods, sages and forefathers. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, however, generally offered to their guru, the previous acharyas, the Panchatattva and Radha Krishna.
Keep going.
After offering obeisances, one should...
Oblations.
After offering oblations, one should come out of the water and wring out one's garments away from the sacred water.
And sometimes you've seen devotees maybe doing like this. Some low-class people, they may spit in the water and do so many things. There's signs at Radhakund actually saying, please don't do that. And for that purpose also, Raghunath Das Goswami, he had a well dug there, which became Gopiku. That's another story. But because he didn't want devotees, people to wash their cloth in Radhakund, it's not considered appropriate. But when we take bath in Radhakund, we take bath in some sacred water, that cloth that we're wearing, in one sense, we may consider to become contaminated after that. Not that it's contaminated by the water, but because of our presence. So we go and wring it out. We don't wring the water out with our parts of our sweat and hairs and different things back into the water. Then we do it some distance away. Go ahead. There's a note.
Note, following the standard of behavior that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited when taking bath in sacred waters, the Radhakund municipality prohibits washing clothes, using soap or spitting in the waters of Radhakund or Shyamkund.
Krishnakund, do you want to read this verse, obeisances to Radhakund? And the mantra for bathing in Radhakund. Can we read the Sanskrit?
Below are some commonly recited prayers and mantras for taking bath in different sacred waters. Obeisances to Radhakund. Shri Vindavi Pinam Sulam Havitashi Mansadova Nama Dasas Dadika Piram Vasamayi Kim Dabayastala Yasya Piam Shalavi Manaha Dimanasa Yoga Kudasa Vakrana Vyukarikam Kriyeva Dayutam Takundami Rashvayi. The voice of Sri Vinda is a most attractive place. Vrinda's voice is the most opulent Govardhan. In comparison to the place of Vasa nearby where Krishna performed his residence, what is the use of all other places? I take shelter of the lake of Shiva, who is dearer to Mukunda than his own life there. Obeisances to Shyamakun?
No, yeah, go ahead.
Shri His favorite deity named Arishta manifested spontaneously from the lotus feet of Krishna when he cleared the village of Arishta's yard. It displayed his stance of nectar from his feet and is decorated with steps that were constructed for Krishna's satisfaction by Sri Radha. I perpetually worship this lake, which is situated as if embracing the lake of Krishna's beloved Radhakund.
Mantra for bathing in Radhakund. Mantra for bathing in Radhakund. Can read that. Just says two.
The following mantra may also be recited as drinking water from the pool on one's head. Radhika samasura yonka vatirita varandika vasura radhika vrindas nana tira sarivoshuni. The good fortune is that of Radhika herself. You are honored by all holy places. O Radhika, please favor me. I am now believing you are safe from your life. Mantra for Radhika Shantam. You were born from the lotus feet of Krishna on the pretext of his killing of Ishta. O Shyama, please protect me, O most fallen soul. I am now bathing in the water.
This issue of Bindu also, this, all these articles, this is something we did in 2004, a few years ago. But all these articles, I think, are very appropriate for nectar of instruction. You can take and read these other things later on in your own leisure. This article from Prabhupada, Preaching is Greater Fortune, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the importance of preaching and the mission of the Krishna conscious movement. Who is a real member? Gaura Vinayamaraj speaks about how we can become a real member of ISKCON, what it means to become a real member of ISKCON. Just as Rupa Goswami and Rupa Deshamrita, he's speaking about, Prabhupada's writing many purports about preaching and the mission of ISKCON, and Rupa Goswami is speaking about what it means to be a real devotee. So I thought this article from Gaura Vinayamaraj is also very appropriate. And the final article in this issue on page 4, which is Whom to Follow, which is from Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha, was something that we read out after the first two couple verses, speaking about Prithivimsa Sishyat, who can speak. This is describing how we should follow someone who's behaving according to what they're saying. And that's our own qualification also. So, Prabhupada writes an interesting thing in the purport here, which I'd like to stop with or raise a little discussion. I'll read it again. It is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes a bath in Radhakund. I hope it's not against the law or anything, but let me ask you, has anyone here taken bath in Radhakund? Okay, we won't tell anybody. Some people say you shouldn't. But now the next question is, Prabhupada says, it is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes bath in Radhakund. So those devotees who raise their hand, amongst you, raise your hand, how many of you developed pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis after doing it? Why not? Mataji?
We don't have Adhikar.
Any other thoughts? This is a very important question. Very, very important question. Prabhupada says here, Rupa Goswami recommends that even if you can't live permanently at Radhakund, you should at least take a bath in the lake as many times as possible. And he says that if you just one time take bath, you will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis. So that's a pretty important question to ask. Any other thoughts on it?
Just like how the dance has different layers, it's a matter of our consciousness, of how we take part in other things. So if you see it externally, then you don't get the result of taking part in other things.
That's a good answer also. Adhikar is also a very good answer. Supreme?
We probably committed some offenses we didn't have an offenseless part. Only committed offenses
when we one offense could be, as Mother Yashoda Mai saying, that we don't have Adhikar. Is it to act beyond your adhikar is an offense? What would you
Because of desires.
Is it
because of material desires. Okay, anything else to say? When I read this, I was thinking about a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, which we printed in one of our printed magazines. We also have a printed magazine called Sri Krishna Katamita. We made a magazine about Lord Jagannath. And we printed an article from Gurgavinda Maharaj speaking about Rath Yatra. And at the end of the article, Maharaj quoted this verse, Rate tu vamana drishva puna jamana vidyate. That if you see Vamana, Lord Vishnu, on his cart, then you'll never take rebirth again. And so he spoke this thing, and one devotee asked a question. This means that every single person who sees Jagannath will get mukti? Maharaj said, Jagannath the Lord, not Jagannath an idol, a wooden murti. Devotee, so that means someone who has prem? And Maharaj said, yes, yes. The devotee then said, it's very popular for devotees to say, if you simply go to see Lord Jagannath, you'll get liberation. And Maharaj replied, all right, that's very good. Anyhow, come and see Lord Jagannath. Anyhow, take part. Yes, that is encouragement. You just chant and dance before the Rath. Very nice. So we put a very similar discussion with Srila Prabhupada after this in the magazine, which took place at the Rath Yatra Festival in Los Angeles in 1971. Devotee, Prabhupada, can you explain a little more about Rath Yatra? Anyone who takes part in Rath Yatra, are they liberated? Now this is something much, much lower than getting Krishna prem. Here the discussion is about liberation. But this statement is there, Rate tu vamana drishva puna jamana vidyate, that you'll never take birth again if you just see the Rath cart. But why is it that we don't see so many people assuming form forms and going back to Godhead after they're seeing a Rath Yatra? There's some similar question to this in comparison to why is it we take bath at Radhakum, why don't we get Krishna prem? Prabhupada, the devotee says, anyone who takes part in Rath Yatra, are they liberated? And Prabhupada said, certainly. The devotee, does that mean they won't take birth again? Prabhupada says, yes, yes, provided that they take it seriously. Otherwise, if they keep their mentality differently, then according to the mind, one has to get a body. When I read this thing, when we were thinking about this, and I started meditating on this purport, conversation with Srila Prabhupada, this summarizes so many things Srila Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrita. And so we can think about that. Otherwise, if they keep their mentality different, then according to mind, one has to get a body. Where does Srila Prabhupada speak about that in Upadeshamrita? Yes, he speaks about how, according to our mentality, we may take birth and we will get a particular kind of body. But just like so many boys, they come here in the beginning out of curiosity. But if they take the chance, take the opportunity, then they'll be liberated. Just like a hospital is meant for curing disease. But one should take the treatment. If he simply goes and visits a hospital and thinks, now I'm cured, how it can be done? So we may go, Radhakund, for us, in this sense, we may say, is like a hospital. It's not like a hospital, it's not its intention. Radhakund is a pleasure place for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But for us, in our sadhak stage, it's also a kind of hospital. But just going there is not enough. We also have to take a proper medicine. Prabhupada says, suppose that I advertise that anyone who comes to this hospital, he be cured of his disease. That's a fact. But if he thinks that, I have come here, now I'm going. I just come and now I'm going. Then how will he be cured? So we can similarly say, if we just say, yes, I'll get Krishna prem if I go take bath at Radhakund, and I go take bath at Radhakund, and then immediately we leave. And what does it mean to immediately leave? It means that we're thinking, I'm not staying here. We should stay eternally at Radhakund. If we get Krishna prem, it means that we're leaving our heart there. Just like those famous t-shirts, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. So we should actually lose our heart at Radhakund. And then we can get Krishna prem.
But if we're just going there, taking a quick bath and then thinking, now I got to get going, I got to get my taxi back to Delhi because I've got to get back to my job and I've got to get back to my family and I have so many works to do and this thing and that thing. And we're thinking things that have nothing to do with Krishna, this material life. How are we taking bath at Radha Kund? Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called it Narak Kund. Prabhupada says, if one sees Lord Jagannath on the Rath Yatra, his way for liberation is open. But if he comes back again and entangles himself, then what? One goes to the doctor, he gives injection, the disease is cured. But again he goes back and does the same thing, so he develops the disease again. So whose fault is it? And then Srila Prabhupada gives an example, which we find in the first purport of Upadeshamrita. What example might that be? Can anyone give a guess?
The elephant bathing.
The elephant bathing, yes. This is very nice. This is a very nice thing. It's kind of like a loop. We're making Upadeshamrita into a circle. Now the last verse goes back to the first verse. Prabhupada says, this is called Hasti Snan. The elephant takes bath very nicely, but then as soon as it comes on the bank of the river or lake, he takes dust and throws it all over his body again. If we do that, then we shall remain always dirty. So this is why Rupa Goswami, his purpose was not to tell us, hey, Vatravegam, Manasakrodavegam, Jivavegam, Uttarapastavegam. That wasn't his purpose. There's so many yogis writing things like that. There's so many Vedic literatures like that. His purpose was to reveal the glories of Radha Kund and reveal how we can attain that place. That's his purpose in this first verse. This first verse, we should see clearly the string, the connection between the first verse and the last verse. And if we read through the book, we go all the way to the last verse and we even go and take bath in Radha Kund. But we're not getting Krishna Prem. It means we should go back to the first verse and start all over again. Prabhupada says, it is a fact that by seeing Jagannath, one becomes mukta. But if he again comes back to Maya, then who can check him? You go all the way to Radha Kund. But then again you go back to Maya. Who can check us? Just like you're all on the path of liberation. But if you again come back to Maya, then where is your liberation? If somebody comes here and sees his path for liberation is open, now he should protect himself. Just like a disease, a fever is subsided. Now one should be careful not to relapse the fever. Not that now I have seen Jagannath, my liberation is guaranteed. Now I can do anything. Taking bath in Radha Kund, we should understand what it means in tattva. It is a very, very profound thing. When we say that means we're going to get prema, just one time. Just one time is possible. Just like Maharaj Khatvanga, he achieved liberation in one moment. So Prabhupada's writing this thing in the purport. One time, just one time taking bath at Radha Kund, immediately we can get gopi bhav. Gopi Bhava Samritabda Lahari, just like the Goswami said, just by taking bath one time. But that means that we have to give up our ignorance. We have to give up this consideration, this conception that I'm this physical material body. And we have to take shelter, as Prabhupada says in the purport. Should live at Radha Kund, taking shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha under their direction and engage constantly in her service. It means we have to change the conception of ourself, which means that we have to have a certain adhikar when we go there. We have to, this material life has to be finished, which means a platform above, which are the previous verses that Srila Prabhupada's been describing. It's not just that we can jump from the first verse and skip all the other verses and go to the last verse and take bath at Radha Kund and say, wait a minute. Prabhupada said you get Krishna Prema immediately. This didn't happen. Nonsense book. We'll get some other book.
Again, I can only say I've heard through classes and never heard that you want to speak. It wasn't the novel, even though the instruction is there. The progression is awesome. But seven devotees were going to Radhakund at that time, and the Prabhupada was completely frantic. He said, please don't go there. He said, you'll surely become my guru. That was back then. And he said, no, he's still here, it's safe here. So you know the instructions are there. Practically, he was alarmed.
I like your point also. You're saying that was back then, which I would take it to mean several different things. One of which is that was when Srila Prabhupada was personally present. And things are very different. Devotees are very, very protected. In the physical association of your Gurudev and such a personality, there's great protection there. But then in their physical absence, things become very, very difficult. Prabhupada talks about that in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, the purport after the disappearance of the Guru, how so many things become very, very difficult.
I don't know. I just know that that's what I heard in classes. Yeah. He was very concerned for his disciples. He was really there, he was there. And then I walked to Saraswati, and he said, for me, I stayed there.
Some devotee told me, I don't know how true this is or not, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta didn't take bath there either. He just took water, which is also taking bath. But he didn't enter into the Kund. But I don't know. Anyway, Prabhupada says this thing in this purport. I won't enter into this controversy. Some people want to make it a controversy. The only thing that I would strongly say about this, whether you should bathe or not bathe, if this subject is coming up in the minds of some, is that you shouldn't worry about it. You should just ask your guru, and you should do whatever your guru says. Do that thing and be peaceful about it. And if you have some doubt, then wait. Or read what Srila Prabhupada has to say, or hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say. But Srila Prabhupada says one thing here in his book, and this is another thing, another instruction. And I know different devotees who won't champion either side. I know different devotees who will champion both sides. It's really not an issue. It's not a big thing because in any case, that Prabhupada didn't say that we should not take water and pour it over our head on the bank of Radhakund. You can also take bath like that. And that's also at least fulfilling something of this. Although it does say in Radhakripa Katakshya Stavaraj, that there's a benefit if you take bath to your waist, there's a benefit if you take bath to the chest, there's a benefit if you take bath to the neck. It's different things. But that's according to realization. It's not necessary for us to jump, but certainly we should at least try to go sometime and take some water and put it on our head. But as Mataji is saying, we should be careful. It's not just we should run there and go and try to stay at Radhakund. Sometimes we see devotees doing it or going there and getting married. That's a very unusual idea. So I'll finish this thing from Prabhupada here. Prabhupada says, not that I've seen Jagannath, my liberation is guaranteed. Now I can do anything. This mentality will not give you liberation. You've seen Jagannath. Your sinful activities are now neutralized. Now don't commit them again. Now make progress. Then your liberation is guaranteed. Namno baladyasya hi papa buddhi. Where does Srila Prabhupada quote this in Upadeshamrita? Excuse me? In the first purport, Prabhupada quotes. So again, it's like kind of a circle here. In every initiation ceremony, we teach this, that by just once chanting Hare Krishna, just once taking bath in Radhakund, but just once chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient to make us pure from all sinful activities. But we commit sin again in the hope that, quote, because I am chanting, this will be neutralized. Which is what Prabhupada talks about in the first verse of Upadeshamrita. That is the greatest sin. So on one side, you should always chant Hare Krishna mantra so that you may not fall down. On another side, you should be careful. Now, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating. In this way, if you carefully make progress, then your liberation is guaranteed. So similarly, if we follow the instructions of Rupa Goswami, if we actually properly follow the krama, the sequence that Rupa Goswami gives in Upadeshamrita, and following it doesn't mean just reading it or passing the test in Bhakti Shastri for it, but following it means doing what Rupa Goswami says, deeply, with full enthusiasm, with our full heart, then if we do that, then definitely we can take bath one time at Radhakund and immediately we can get Krishna praying in the mood of the gopis. So we'll stop there and we'll have just a 5-minute break and then we'll have some quick synopsis over, we'll go over a few points of the whole book. Okay? Hare Krishna.
The last thing that you said that is having faith in the words, what is written in the book. If you have full faith and if you do, then you will find the result.
Yes, because if we don't have full faith, we won't be able to do
it. And that faith comes from past Sukriti?
That faith comes from association.
Association. Sukriti has nothing to do with it.
Sukriti gives us that association.